Jesus Christ has abolished death. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, he's conquered it. Paul had written those words, and Paul believed those words.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Paul has given us one major imperative in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 8. And that imperative is in the second verse where we're taught that we're to preach the word. We're given insight into the character of that ministry in verse 2. And in the remainder of these verses, we're given some motivations to carry out that great primary task, that stewardship which is given to every one of us in this day and age, to preach the word. And there are three primary motivations to which Paul appeals in this passage. One is the coming of Christ. That's verse 1. And that's an awesome motivation to obey him. Christ is coming. We have an appointment with him. Someday we'll stand before him. We don't know when it will be. We're to do everything so that we won't be ashamed when he appears to us and we appear before him. One is the coming of Christ. The second is the contemporary scene. And he describes that scene in verses 3, 4, and 5. And it's not a very lovely picture. Darkness and difficulty characterize the contemporary scene of Timothy's day, and it characterizes the scene of our day. But that darkness and difficulty is not designed to discourage us, but to motivate us to redouble our efforts. The deeper the darkness and the more intense the difficulty, the greater the need of people around us. And so we redouble our efforts to preach the word and share with them the message of the gospel. The final motivation to which Paul appeals to encourage us to fulfill this mandate to preach the word. Not only the coming of Jesus Christ and the answer we must give him as we stand before him, not only the depth of the darkness and the difficulty in the contemporary scene, but also the completion of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This great privilege and awesome responsibility had fallen largely on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul in the early New Testament church, but now he was to leave the scene. The completion of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And the torch must be passed to the next generation. And the man to whom it is passed is called Timothy. His name Timothy. And so Paul is making a stirring appeal to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, to carry on this ministry, particularly in view of the completion of the apostles' ministry, the setting aside of this great man of God. As I said, the words of this section are Paul's legacy to the church. And they breathe an atmosphere of solemnity, but also of great victory and of thanksgiving and anticipation. There's no spirit of resignation in the Apostle Paul's words in this section, but only a spirit of anticipation. He knows that soon he'll be in the presence of the Lord. He's facing death, but it doesn't frighten him. In a sense, he gives thanks for it. I think the spirit that exudes from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8 is a spirit of triumphant faith. And he'll share that with us in three tenses, as we'll see in just a moment. One of the most searching tests to apply to any man's religion is to discern his attitude to death. What is your attitude to death? Paul was facing imminent death. It was a very sobering and solemn circumstance in which he gave these words. He says, I am now ready. You could literally render that, I am already being offered or poured out. He was facing imminent death. I think measured by this test, a man's attitude to death, measured by this test, much of so-called Christianity is found wanting in our day and age. You see it in its black clothes, its mournful chants, and its requiem masses. To be sure, dying can be an unpleasant experience, and a certain bereavement is often unavoidable in a context of death. But the Bible says, and Paul said it in this book, the first chapter in verse 10, the Bible says that death has been already conquered or overthrown. And we're taught in the scriptures that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, Revelation 14 and verse 13. The proper epitaph to write for a Christian believer is not the uncertain and weak petition, "May he rest in peace." The proper epitaph is the positive affirmation, "Jesus Christ has abolished death." 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, "He's conquered it." Paul had written those words, and Paul believed those words. And the evidence of his belief can be caught in the spirit of 2 Timothy 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. He had written, "Jesus Christ has abolished death. He has eviscerated it," or emptied it of its power and its influence over our lives. Death for the Christian is no longer penal. It's no longer a penalty. It's no longer the abyss of nothingness, as I've said on other occasions. It's the gateway on the skyline. It's a medium of promotion into the presence of God. Christ has abolished death. Paul had written that. Paul had preached it. Paul believed it, and he was about to practice it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. His body may be confined in the narrow limits of an underground cell in Rome, death row, so to speak. He may be facing a soon and a certain death, but his spirit and his soul soar into the sphere of eternity as he reviews his present, his past, and his prospects. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, "As I see the completion of Paul's ministry, which was designed to be a motivation to the young man Timothy to take the torch and move forward for the glory of God in the next generation, I see three tenses of Paul's triumphant faith expressed in that passage." And every one of us ought to embrace that triumphant faith. "I see three tenses of Paul's triumphant faith expressed in this passage." Can you see them with me? Do you have your Bibles open? 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 6, Paul surveys his present. "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul surveys his present. He refers to his death in a twofold way. He says it's a libation and it's a liberation. A libation is a sacrifice, the pouring out of a liquid upon a sacrificial victim in honor of a deity just before it is consumed in flame. It was a part of the ceremonial rituals of the ancient world, a libation. The pouring out of a liquid upon a sacrificial victim just before it was consumed in flame. Paul says, my death is like that. It's the final act of a total sacrificial ceremony. The whole of my life has been a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. And here's the final act. It's a libation. He also says it's a liberation. He speaks of it as a departure. He surveys, one, his present, verse 6. "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." Secondly, he summarizes his past. And you know, you and I ought to take a very close and precise look at his past and then apply those, the elements of that summary, to our own life up to this point and see where we stand in connection with our past. He summarizes his past in verse 7. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." That's a summary of his past. Pretty powerful testimony. And then he sketches his prospects for the future. And that's verse 7. "Henceforth," that's the future, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So now let's look at these for just a moment. He surveys his present, verse 6. He summarizes his past, verse 7. And he sketches his prospects for the future in verse 8. Now, do you notice those two metaphors? Let me talk about them again just for a moment. Those two metaphors of Paul's death in verse 6. You know, death is the great unmentionable in our culture. Something we don't want to talk about. We shun it. We pretend it doesn't exist. We try not to deal with it. We close our mind and our eyes to it. No Christian need ever fear death. We need never fear to talk about it. There are great insights in the Bible with respect to the issue. We can see it simply nothing other than a promotion in the very presence of God. Paul was never afraid to talk about his death, even when he was facing it imminently. And he discusses it here in verse 6. "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And he says, as I said a moment ago, that his death, metaphorically, his death is two things. One, it's a libation. It is the pouring out of his life blood, the final act of his sacrificial ceremony. It's the picture of a liquid. being poured out over a sacrifice before it was consumed in flame. It was native to the ancient world. And ever since Paul's conversion, that's the Greek word, by the way, spendesthai, the very word means a libation, a drink offering, the pouring out of a liquid over a sacrificial victim. Ever since his conversion, Paul had offered everything to Jesus Christ. Some of you were converted last week. Some of us were converted last year. Some of us were converted many years ago. Ever since Paul's conversion, from the day of his conversion, he had offered everything to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you and I ought to do. Everything that we have, we ought to be utterly consumed with obedience to the Son of God. We ought to be captivated by the personality of Jesus Christ. We ought to be so deeply grateful for all that we experience in Him that we give everything we have to the Son of God. Paul was consumed with that kind of a spirit. Ever since the day of his conversion, he'd offered everything to the Son of God. His money, his scholarship, his time, the vigor of his body, the acuteness of his mind, the devotion of his spirit, Paul's whole life had been a living sacrifice to God. That's what he meant in Romans 12 and verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he was saying nothing other to the Romans and to us than that which he'd already done in his own life. He'd given his whole life a living sacrifice to the Son of God. And now he says, I've come to the final act. The libation was always the final act of the sacrificial ceremony. Just before the victim was consumed in flame, the animal victim on an altar in the ancient world, both Jewish and even in pagan rituals this was used. Just before the victim was consumed in flame, there would be this libation, this drink offering, which would be poured out over it. That was the final act of the sacrificial ceremony. And Paul says, the whole of my life has been a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. And even in my death, it isn't Caesar that's the central figure. It's Jesus Christ. It isn't Caesar that puts me to death. I offer up my life in obedience to the Son of God. I wonder how many of us could say that in living and in dying, we have been and we intend to be nothing other than a sacrifice for Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us could say that. We're the children of God. When was the last time it cost you or me something? Time, energy, effort, money, devotion, hard work, hardship to be a servant of Jesus Christ, to serve Him loyally and faithfully. How many of us could say that in living and in dying, we have been and we intend to be in our death nothing other than a sacrifice for Jesus Christ? It will do us no good to be spectators who applaud the Apostle Paul. God expects that we will be participators who appropriate the activity of the Apostle Paul and reduplicate it in our lives. Paul says, my death is a libation. It isn't Caesar, it's Christ who is the central figure in my life.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Death is a departure which releases a man from the ugly things, the decaying and the binding things.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.